Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with your hosts, Phil Huff, and my co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil. How have you been?
I've been good. It was a busy weekend, but the weather held nicely on Saturday for the chafe ride.
Yes, it did. You
know, we were out, some of us manning a rest stop in Clark Fork, and I think, were you out with the crew, the KRFY crew, for the other one?
I was. KRFY was the rest stop host for the what they call the fun ride, the 30-miler. It doesn't sound like that much fun to me, but it was at Pack River Store, which was a beautiful location to be serving fruit and granola bars.
Well, it sounds like more fun than riding 150 miles ending in a headwind.
Oh, I think so. It was a bit windy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tough one.
But by all accounts, all the riders, almost all the riders had a good time, and a lot of money was raised for great cause and great community effort. So
true. And I heard that a record was set. I don't know if that's true or not. But
what
I heard
was the record?
In the 150, and I don't know what the time was, but I heard it was a new record.
Well.
So I hope I haven't misquoted.
We'll have to find out more and report back next week.
That's right. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of last morel mushrooming over in the Burns of Montana, but I think it's over.
Yeah. I got out for a little bit of a walk on Sunday. A lot of people out at one of our favorite places, Ross Creek Cedars. The parking lot was full.
Oh, you did. I love it out there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place and great for families. And we went a little bit beyond the scenic area, so people just kept to the scenic area, and we had the rest of the valley upstream to ourselves.
It's beautiful out there.
Yeah, and speaking of beautiful, we've got some nice weather. Summer is slowly starting to finally return to our environs here. Today, mostly cloudy. It'll be a high of 79 degrees. Tonight, decreasing cloud, a low of 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Mostly cloudy to mostly sunny. I guess that's an improvement.
A little bit of everything.
A high of 84. Wednesday night, only partly cloudy, a low in the high 50s. And then Thursday, we have a chance of heavy rain, sitting at about 50%. High of 79. Thursday night, a little bit of rain possibly continues. And then Friday, this says isolated showers. So as long as you're not isolated with the showers, you should be fine, right?
We mustn't complain about rain in June.
Yeah, no, it's
it'll keep us a little wetter through the hot dry months.
June flowers bring July visitors, tourists.
So true.
To places like Round Lake State Park.
That's right. And who could ask for nicer weather for hiking and camping? I think we've got it coming. And with that, let's introduce our morning show guests. We've got Mary McGraw, who's the state park manager of Round Lake State Park. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Happy to have you here. And she is joined by Audra Straley, who is a first-year seasonal park ranger. Morning, Audra.
Good morning.
So nice to have you both here.
Welcome to the show. It's one of my favorite places, and I can't believe in the last 2 years we haven't had you in to talk about it.
It's one of my favorite places, too. It's a lot of fun to be out there.
So why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about where the park is for those people who might be new to the area or just haven't quite explored that far out yet.
Yeah, we're just a little bit south of Sandpoint. We're about 10 miles south of Sandpoint on 95, and then you go west on Dufferin Road about 2 miles, and it's just right there. It's a nice little secret down in the bottom of the hole there where we got the nice lake. So like I said, it's a nice little secret down there.
It is tucked away. You don't notice it. Yeah. You can drive by it if you don't keep an eye open.
Yeah, it's one of those little depressions left by the last ice age. And if you live local in Sandpoint and pick up a copy of today's Bonner County Daily Bee, below the fold, there's a front page article that talks about glacial Lake Missoula and the role that that played in carving out the park quite literally.
Absolutely.
But beautiful area. Tell us how big it is.
The lake itself is about 58 acres. The entire park is 200 acres minus that 58 acres. So we got hiking trails, campground, visitor center, and then, of course, we got our shop area that we use to keep all of our stuff. But the park itself is a great little area. We have three hiking trails that go around the lake and along the Cocalala Creek.
Mary, as state parks go, is that considered large, small? Where does it lie in the size range?
We're one of the smaller parks in the state. Obviously, if you're familiar with some of the parks around here, close by, there's Priest Lake and there's Farragut State Park, and those are much larger state parks. The nice thing about Round Lake is that it is small, that it's easy to access, it's easy to get around in, and it just makes it just a real nice, cozy place.
It feels larger than it is, probably because it adjoins other Idaho Department of Lands lands. And there's some trails that venture out into some of those more cooperative areas.
That's correct. We do have some of our trails on state endowment land, which is managed by Idaho Department of Lands. So we work in conjunction with them to maintain those trails to give us a little bit more distance on our trails. So it makes it nice.
Before we delve too far into the details of the trails, give us a little background on yourselves and your interest in parks and how you came to be at Round Lake.
The Round Lake, I made my way here not necessarily by accident, but it was a good move for me. I started out very young, always wanting to be outdoors and be in the, you know, hiking and stuff like that. I went to college in Wisconsin at University of Stevens Point. And from there, as soon as I graduated college, I moved to Idaho in 1987. Started working at Harriman State Park over in eastern Idaho, just outside of Yellowstone. Worked there for about 8 months, 9 months, something like that, and then got a permanent job with the department. I started as a ranger in Boise. Everybody at that time seemed to start their career at Boise and then moved on from there. I moved to Three Islands State Park, which is about an hour out of Boise down in Glens Ferry, and spent a year there interpreting the Oregon Trail. We did a lot of Oregon Trail interpretation. And from there, I went back to Harriman State Park and spent about 8 years at that park. It was a really great place to see a lot of wildlife, do a lot of interpretive programs. And of course, the Harriman Ranch was there, so that was a pretty fun thing to be able to interpret with that history.
It has Henry's Fork running through it, yes?
It does. Yes. It has the Henry's Fork running through it, which is a great trout fishing stream, one of the best in the state. And I did manage to actually catch a trout out of Millionaire's Hole. That was probably the only fly fishing experience. After that, I figured I've done it all, and that's probably the last time I fly fished.
Retire at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you make your way up north?
After about 8 years of being neck deep in snow, we decided that we still liked the snow. We wanted to come north, and an opportunity for me to move up to Round Lake opened up. So I jumped at the chance and took that job in 1997. So 10 years after I started. So I've been at Round Lake for 21 years this year.
Yeah. My goodness. That's great.
I started out as a ranger, and I was there until 2 years ago when I got the manager position.
Very nice.
Well, congratulations.
Yes. Thanks. What a great promotion. Well, Audra, you are a ranger at the moment. Tell us how you got to be here today.
Well, I haven't been doing it as long as Mary, that's for sure. My background is mostly just that I had a lot of different jobs in my life. I knew what my interests were, but I never really found anything that fit. I did everything from from waitressing to construction laboring, landscaping. I applied at Round Lake 5 years ago. And I thought, well, that sounds fun. Work outside. And I discovered that it was just really perfect for me. And when I went to Round Lake the very first time, I absolutely fell in love with the place. And so I have just stayed since. And I really enjoy working with Mary. I'm really glad she became the manager. It's just a great place to be. I get to do a lot of different things and utilize a lot of the skills that I acquired over the years. And I'm always learning more.
So, and this year will be your first year, or it is your first year, working with the programs, right?
This is, I think, my second year, but it's starting to gain popularity.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get the word out more. And we're trying to have more programs more often. So that's exciting. It should be a good summer for that.
Yeah, and that's such a nice addition to Round Lake State Park. The amphitheater looks so pretty, kind of looking out over the lake. And I can just imagine learning about, well, really anything, Phil, yeah. would be
There's a lot
wonderful
of, lot of there. Programs and a lot for us to talk about there, but it might be good to step into the history of the park first and give us some of the background about how the park became a park.
The park became a park back in actually before the Parks Department even existed. There was a piece of property with the lake on it that came up for sale, and the Department of Lands actually initially purchased it in 1955. They thought it was a great place for the public to go. The lake was there. It was a nice, cozy little place. So they bought the property, and they developed it as a state park. They had a parks division that ran it, and they ran it for about 10 years until 1965 when Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation came into existence. At that time, the Harrimans, as I mentioned before, where I was at Harriman State Park, they were interested in donating their ranch to the state. And one of the conditions for that was they said a parks department had to run the place in order to manage the park properly and manage the resources without political interest. So in 1965, Idaho Department of Parks was created. Department of Land says, good.
Here
you go. So even though a couple of years ago, what was it, in 2015, we celebrated our 50th anniversary as Idaho Department of Parks, but Round Lake actually got to celebrate their 60th anniversary.
All right. Yeah.
Nice. So we're a little ahead of the game.
That is nice.
So that's kind of how the Parks Department came about. And, of course, Round Lake was there, and people were already interested in being there, fishing in the lake, going swimming, finding it to be a great family place to go camping. It was a safe place for the kids. It was nice and compact that they could, you know, still be in the campground and walk down to the lake without, you know, having to drive or go very far or worry about what's going on.
Yes, and as compared to Pendre, it warms up quite a bit more quickly, and the beach is very inviting. Mm-hmm. It's truly a nice little swimming beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great summertime destination. I think a lot of people, when they think parks, state parks, they think of that summer vacation. But I love Round Lake because it's a year-round destination. Why don't you walk us a little bit through the seasons of what's available there?
Yeah. In the summertime, of course, we have, you know, the camping and the hiking, the fishing. Those are some of our most popular activities. In the fall time, it is wonderful to get out and do some hiking. We get a lot of the local people coming in, taking their dogs for a walk, hiking on the trails. The weekends are still, you know, the weather's still great, so the weekends are a great opportunity to come in and do some camping. Even though the kids are back in school, it's still, the weather's just so nice to get out there. And then in the wintertime, the park is open. We have to switch from our summer road to our winter road because of the steepness of the hill. We just can't keep it cleaned off enough to keep cars and vehicles from going right into the lake, sliding down in there.
And I thought you'd move the road so that could be used as a sled hill. At least that's what I've used it for.
That's what a lot of people have used it for, yes, yes. But yeah, actually, it's access into the park. So the winter road is just to the east, probably about 300 yards, right at the bottom of the hill as you go down Duford. Comes in the park, it's a great place for ice fishing. When the ice forms on the lake, there's a lot of snowshoeing going on. There's some cross-country ski trails that are out there. All the trails are skier maintained. We don't have any equipment to maintain any of those trails. But what's really gotten to be real popular in the last couple of years are the fat tire bikes out on the trail. So it's good to see that there's a new user group coming out and using the park in the wintertime. Also, we keep a couple campsites open for people who want to do some winter camping.
I was about to say that I've noticed folks out there in the winter, the hardy souls, and it's kind of amazing to see campers there wintertime.
Well, I don't know. It's always the parking lot is always filled with cars of ice fishermen.
That too.
And so I suspect, Julie, you know a few of those folks.
I know one or two, Phil. However, I am not one of them. I've done enough ice fishing in Minnesota for a couple of lifetimes.
Yeah, none of this wimpy local round lake ice fishing.
No. But it is a great park year-round. It's just, it changes from season to season and always feels a little bit different whenever I'm there. Love it.
Yeah. Springtime, I think the only challenge is getting around the west end of the lake when it floods.
Yeah, so on the east end of the lake, it does flood lake, through there, the Kokalala Creek, which feeds out of Lake Kokalala into our lake, does get going pretty fast and gets pretty high. So it does get real wet over there. So the nice thing is we have the footbridges now that the Boy Scouts have helped us get installed and get those in. And so that helps a lot. As a matter of fact, I was around the trail yesterday, and if it weren't for the boardwalks, we'd still be walking in the water. So,
yes.
So that's been a great addition.
However, it is one place where I see a lot of moose tracks, and that could bring us to wildlife. There's quite an abundance of wildlife at Round Lake. Maybe one of you could tell us about that.
Yeah, the wildlife, for such a small, compact area, there's moose there. There's bear there. Of course, we have beaver in the lake. A lot of songbirds moving through, migrating through. Of course, the osprey fish there. The bald eagles have been staying around for a number of years now. They've been staying there year-round, so that's really exciting to see. And there's just a lot of little rodents and just a nice little pocket of places to see all kinds of different animals. And of course, we can't forget about our turtles.
Oh, I was hoping you'd mention the turtles. How are they doing?
They're doing great. This year, they're doing better. Last year, we had a pretty tough time for the nesting turtles. Last year in the summertime, it was so dry out that 90% of the eggs dried up in the nest. And then about 84% of them did survive through the winter because we had a little bit more moisture and temperatures were a little bit more moderate. But, the temperatures, the turtles are real sensitive to the winter temperatures and the summer temperatures and the dryness of the area.
And I noticed that they have been up going across the trails in the last month or so, and I have to say, I saw one of the biggest western painted turtles I've ever seen crossing the path at Round Lake. That was nice. A big mother turtle.
Mother turtles are out right now. They are nesting. You may have also noticed that we have the research people from Gonzaga in monitoring the nest. What they're doing is they are monitoring the nest, the turtle nest, seeing how many turtles are nesting, how many eggs are in the nest. They monitor that through till about the 1st of July. The turtles should have nested, pretty much be done by then. And then they come back again in the fall to check the nest to see how they're doing, how the turtles survive through the dry season. And then they also come back in the springtime. What happens is the turtles will overwinter in the nest. The eggs will hatch out. The turtles will stay in the nest through the winter and then emerge in the springtime. So they come out in the springtime to check to see how much, what the survival rate of those turtles were over the winter.
Sure.
Yeah, we had someone on about a year ago talking about that project, the Painted Turtle Project.
We did. We had one of the grad students from Auburn came and told us a little more about it. It was pretty neat. It was so interesting in the fact that I think they're unique in that the babies do stay in the nest over winter, unlike many other kinds of turtles. We learned quite a bit.
Yeah, and
listeners.
What a great location for a field study, too.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we did.
And if you're interested in learning about the Western Painted Turtles this Saturday, that team of researchers will be doing a program at our amphitheater about 7:30 p.m.
Oh, good. And I suppose you'll be coordinating that or helping.
This is all on their own time. They volunteer to do this, you know, because they're excited and passionate. So they want to share it with people, and that's great. So that's happening this Saturday.
So that's one of a number of resources for education available at the park. You have a wonderful interpretive center. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the interpretive center is, we put that in, it's been almost 20 years ago now. I think about 2000 we put that in, we redid it. It's geared towards a lot of hands-on type activities for the young kids. Young kids can come in. Anything that's in there, a lot of the parents say, don't touch. And I'm like, oh, touch everything in there. So
that's what's wonderful about it.
Yeah. Right. So they can go in there. They can touch anything that they want. We have skulls in there. We have feathers in there. We have specimens that we've found. There's bats in there. There's I'm trying to think of what else.
Taxidermied beavers.
Oh, boy.
Taxidermy beavers. You know, and the activities are geared towards things that are in the park as well as things that they can interact with, bird songs and what the fur of different animals feel like and what it looks like to make a track in the sand.
Mm-hmm. And do the programs that you work with, Audra, do they take place in that building or are they taking place in the amphitheater?
We like to try to at least begin all of our programs at the amphitheater just to keep it consistent so visitors always know where to come. But we might move around in a program. It might entail a hike or going into the visitor center or around it. They're all different.
They can end up anywhere.
Yep, but we like to start them at the amphitheater.
All right.
There's also a great resource, I think, educational resource available at the park that's been recently upgraded, redone, the interpretive trail with all the signs around the lake.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. As a matter of fact, just the first part of this month, we did the stewardship trail celebration. It's been a number of years in the making, about probably 5 years, we've been working with Idaho Department of Lands. The trail was originally started back in 1988 because of a timber sale on the Department of Lands property that is immediately adjacent to our park, and we wanted to maintain the view shed of that on the backside of the lake. So as they wanted to log most of it for the endowment property to raise money for the schools, we said, you know, that's great. That's a really great idea. But we still need to maintain that view. So we worked with them. We got everything worked out. We maintained that view. They got their timber sale. But we wanted to interject some of the things that went on and why we were making those compensations for the park. And so we decided that we should put a trail in explaining what was going on and why we needed to log and why we needed to preserve some of it. So they developed a trail back in the early 90s. Well, a lot of the information that was on those signs was way outdated. So about 5 years ago, we said we either need to decide to redo this or to abandon it. Yeah. So we decided that it was definitely worth redoing. So we spent time doing research, updating the information, writing the interpretive panels and getting that all taken care of. And last year in July, we completed that project and got those signs, 25 of the interpretive panels installed.
Have you read them, Phil? They're very informative. I learned a ton.
I've read every one.
You have?
I have.
I would have assumed you would have read them all.
No, they were very, very nicely done, as that sort of thing goes. You know, a lot of times you find inconsistencies, but it stayed very solid to the message throughout and very, very good background and yet readable in short snippets.
That's right. And even very pretty. They fit in nicely in the landscape and they're nice and colorful and easy to read. So they're very nice. Yeah. Which does bring us to the question of how do things like that get paid for? How does Round Lake pay for all of the things it's got happening?
It's been kind of an interesting go as far as that project goes. That was one of the nice things about being partners with Idaho Department of Lands is that they do have the stewardship program. So they were able to have some money available for that, but of course not all of it. That whole project was probably a little bit over $30,000. So we actually wrote a grant and was awarded that grant from the Equinox Foundation, which is a local foundation that gives money to activities such as trail work, interpretive signs, to people in Boundary and Bonner County. So the money comes from here and it stays here, which is a really nice thing. And that basically by getting that grant we were able to finish that project. So that kind of stuff, you know, we have a really hard time budgeting for it. And with our budget process, it takes sometimes a little longer to budget for it if we have to than it does to actually do the work. So we were on a pretty fine time frame to get that project done. And so the grant came in just at the perfect time. As far as other funding in the park, we do have obviously a budget, although it's pretty small. It just basically maintains the upkeep of the park.
Yeah, the state park system has a pay-as-you-go $5 entry fee. That's a dribble of money. But if you live in Idaho, if you're new to the area, you can get a tag along with your car registration for $10, good for all parks across the state and one of the best investments around, I think.
Yeah, we have the annual state park passport, which we instituted a number of years ago right after the economy kind of fell apart. We were trying to come up with ways to raise money to help all state parks and not just individual state parks. So they instituted the what they called the opt-in program for the state park passport. With your vehicle registration, you have the option to pay an additional $10. And then at that point, you get a sticker that allows you to enter all 30 state parks in Idaho for a whole year. So, and what a great value for $10. You can go to any of the state parks. And then that way you don't have to pay that $5 every time you come into the park. So, I mean, $5 per visit or $10 per year. It's a no-brainer.
And additionally, you get a little discount on camping too, yes?
That's correct, yeah. It's a $5 per night discount. So, you know, the campers are also paying the day use fee, so it's covering that portion of their camping fee.
And you get the social cachet of this cool sticker on your windshield.
It's true. They start to line up your windshield over the years, which is a good thing. Mary, is that are user fees the main funding mechanism for Idaho State Parks?
They are. After the economic downfall, we had to rethink how we do business. Governor Otter has challenged us to become more self-sustaining, self-sufficient as far as funding goes. So the user fees basically are what fund the department. The department is about 97% self-sustaining as far as funding goes. Round Lake doesn't do quite as well. We're a little bit smaller entity, but we're around 85% self-sustaining. So the user fees help us immensely. It's the camping fees, the day use fees, the souvenirs that you buy in the gift shops, the boat rentals that we have. All that money comes back to the park and helps us maintain it.
Well, if you're just tuning in, our guests this morning are Park Manager Mary McGraw and Park Ranger Audra Staley from Round Lake State Park. We're going to take a short music break here. We've queued up a song at the request of Mary. Tell us a little bit about why signs are important.
Signs are everywhere. So we try and only have signs if we absolutely need them. They are very helpful, though.
88.5 KRFY, listener-supported radio for North Idaho. here in Pondere.
And Phil, there are no shortage of signs in our radio studio, and one of them is to remind folks that if they didn't manage to renew their membership or become new members during our recent membership drive, it can still be done.
Yes. Everywhere a sign reminding us
it seems
to support community radio. And at Round Lake, everywhere a sign, but usually telling us things that are educational, not so much do this, don't do that.
And not that many signs, no, a few. No.
Hopefully.
Actually, the main sign is not the very biggest sign. In the wintertime, it's kind of easy to miss your temporary driveway.
Yeah, that is definitely a smaller sign. Yeah. You got to be watching for that one.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You certainly do.
Well, let's shift a little bit to Audra and the programs that the park ranger manages for Round Lake.
Yes, Audra, tell us about your position, what your duties are, and how that's been going, and what's coming up.
Oh, what my duties are at Round Lake vary. Everybody that works there kind of does everything.
Ah.
We do a lot of the maintenance, trail maintenance, operate the visitor center, the kiosk. Really, there's all kinds of things we do. Mm-hmm. A lot of the maintaining the facilities and everything. And for as far as programs go, I guess how that came about was while I was just still a seasonal worker there, I was interested and asking Mary, you know, how can we start programs? And she said, well, you know, do some.
Just do some.
Yeah. And she was nice enough to send me to a few training courses, like through Project Wild, mm-hmm. Project Wet. I went to Interpretation 101 down at Harriman. That was fun. And so I just started making a schedule. My favorites are the Junior Ranger programs because they're a lot of fun. Did you want the schedule for this?
Sure.
The rest of this month for programs?
Sure, we do. And contact info for people.
Okay, well, for Junior Rangers, this Saturday at 3 p.m., we'll be doing birding. And also the last Friday of the month will be another Junior Ranger program.
That'd be the 29th.
That would be the 29th.
If I'm reading it correctly.
Yes, I'm looking at your calendar. That's going to be about wildflowers. One of our staff members is going to put that one on. We try to encourage all of our staff that wants to do a program, go for it, you know. We also have...
And so what time are those Junior Ranger programs?
Typically, they'll be 3 o'clock, I think. Okay. We will post the ads up at the park prior to the program.
And how old a Junior Ranger could come? Someone
those
like me?
Are... Okay, so it's geared towards ages 6 to 12. But always say for the young at heart, too. Okay. That's what I think. Well, everybody's welcome to these.
And they just can show up, or should they sign up ahead of time?
They can just show up. We have a lot of people from the campground that attend, but also people who are just there for day use are welcome to these too. So Monday mornings, we have a master naturalist that volunteers to do hikes at 9:30 a.m. Also, this Friday and Saturday... The 22nd and 23rd, here's something really exciting. It's a primitive survival workshop.
Oh.
That Joel Hudson. He's from the Fairchild Air Force Base. He is volunteering his time to put on this workshop. And he's a pro. He's the real deal. It should be really cool. He's willing to do this Friday and Saturday, the 22nd and 23rd. He's starting at 8 a.m. Friday. Primitive survival. You'll learn shelter building, fire building, fishing, wild edibles. I think it's going to be pretty neat. So anyone who's interested in that, that's coming up.
And that's interesting because that's part of their military training, yes, in case they get stranded.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think what he'll find if he gets good attendance is that there is a group of primitive survival folk here in the Sandpoint area mm-hmm. who are very interested in learning those skills. So he may have super turnout.
So I hope he does.
One more time, what time is that? That's this Saturday at?
That's starting this Friday on the 22nd okay. at 8 a.m. And he will begin in the amphitheater, but it's going to be really hands-on. You're going to get to actually build these shelters and fires and do this stuff. So it'll be a lot of moving around the park.
And how long is it, the entire day, both days?
It's really going to depend on attendance and who wants to learn how much.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool. He's volunteering his time for this, and I'm really excited about it. I hope he does have good attendance. I know there is an interest in this area for things like that. I'm certainly interested in it.
It is interesting. Audra, I've got to back up just for a moment. You mentioned that you've got a Master Naturalist on Mondays. And has that been an ongoing program, or is it new to Round Lake?
She's been doing this, was it last year and the year before?
Third year.
This is her third year. Yes. And it's this time of year that she does them. Now that we have more visitors coming to the park. So she's beginning that again for this summer.
That's great.
Mondays at 9:30,
yeah, what a wonderful
hike.
Resource.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, what other
Well, you mentioned the turtles.
We have?
That's
the turtle one
is
coming up 7:30 p.m. at the amphitheater this Saturday.
Hmm. And then right now we also have the Soul Group in, the Selkirk mm-hmm. Outdoor Learning and Education Group. They bring in young children and spend the week doing day camp, mm-hmm. and they're in right now. And they're in about 1 week a month throughout the summer in June, July, and August. And then in the wintertime, we also have the Winter Tracks program. The Francis Gusman Peak put that on. So that's been a huge success. I think this past winter, we probably had the most programs that we've had, and I'm going to guess there were probably maybe a dozen programs that we did this year. So that's been a huge success. It's so awesome to get people out there in the wintertime.
Mary and I have both participated in that. It's such a wonderful opportunity. The venue, the location around Lake State Park is such a great place for outdoor education between the amphitheater and the pavilion, which has a couple grills on it and certainly shelters for a little bit of warmth and from rain, and the indoor interpretive center, adding all to the mix of being outside with a great, diverse, abundant habitat that's there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
really
good.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say from soup to nuts, from plant identification mm-hmm. to snowshoeing mm-hmm. to tracking. I mean, it's really just a very diverse educational opportunity.
It's been a favored location for field trips for the Native Plant Society in times past, too.
Yes, it has.
So, yeah, for the tiny size of Round Lake State Park, it really offers a lot. It's amazing how much you all accomplish.
So is there a website resource available for more information on the park if somebody's just tuning in?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page, and all of our programs we try and put on there at least a week ahead of time. And we'll at the beginning of the month, we'll post all those also. Also, on our webpage, the Idaho Parks and Recreation webpage, we have a calendar of events, and we try and get those posted on at least the first part of the month. And that website is www.parksandrecreation.idaho.gov.
Good.
Well, we're running a little low on time. Is there anything that we've missed that you'd like to touch base on?
Well, I actually have a couple more questions for you guys because I love this park and I've just got to know a little more. Yeah. So one thing I'm really interested in knowing about is what you both like best about working at Round Lake. And then if there are any unique challenges that you know about that maybe the listeners could either be aware of or help you with. So what do you like best?
The thing about Round Lake is not only the resource that's there, but it's the people that enjoy it. It's the stewardship that's created by these visitors coming into the park and being able to explore the park at their own pace or at different programs. Right now, one of the big challenges that we're having is the resource in some places is getting a little overused. specifically in the campground are forests that everybody loves to have, you know, shaded campsites, is getting to be a mature, over mature forest. So we are trying to address that in the fact that we know that we need to start getting some regeneration going on in the park. So we're looking at some of the over mature and mature trees, having to take them out, but also getting new stuff started and getting new trees to come in so that we can maintain that atmosphere and that nice shady camp spot.
Yeah, that is a challenge in so many campgrounds, because there's just a lot of traffic and sometimes trees get damaged.
And it's hard to catch up on that uneven aged management.
It is, especially we have over 100,000 people visiting the park each year. So it does get pretty busy at times.
And one of your very busiest times is about to arrive, so I wish you luck over the 4th.
Oh, thank you.
That's right. Well, Audra, what about you? What are your favorite? What is it that you like best about Round Lake, and what are your challenges?
Well, I also just really love the park. I love the atmosphere, the energy of it. I love to be there all times of year. And I also, you know, I like the people that I work with there. It's like-minded people. Everybody loves the outdoors. You know, I like so many things about it, really. I love doing the programs. Those present their own challenges because you really never know who is going to show up. You don't know what kind of audience you're going to have. So it sometimes is a challenge to kind of roll with the punches.
Yeah. Well, if I may, I'd like to compliment the park and the staff, because I am there frequently and I'm often there with my dog or a friend. And even when one of your staff needs to remind someone of a park rule or just, you know, talk with people, they are so friendly. And I've never had that feeling like I was about to get a ticket or get yelled at. And that isn't always the case in every park that we might attend, but it's never happened to me at Round Lake. You've got just a great friendly staff.
That's because you obey the signs and the rules.
Because I can read the signs, it's true, but I'm not perfect, but they are a very friendly staff, and I appreciate them. Yeah.
It's a wonderful place. Any quick anecdotes before we go out?
No, one of you
zaniest thing that's ever happened in 25 years.
One of the things
years.
That just comes to mind right off the top of my head is just last week we had an experience a young girl had. I was in the office and I get a phone call and this parent was just beside herself. She's like, "We're walking on the lake and this duck is tangled in the fishing line, and you know it's not doing well. We just don't know what to do about it. And, you know, can you help?" And I'm like, "We can get a canoe. We can go over there, but it's going to take us a little bit of time." And she said, okay. So hung up the phone, was getting things together. And I got a phone call back and she says, "Oh, the little gosling was going under the water. So my daughter jumped in the water and got the gosling all untangled. And let the gosling go. It went up on the land and shook around a little bit. And he could hear the mom over there chirping." Mm-hmm. And the mom and the other siblings came out onto the water. And here comes the little gosling that she just helped get untangled. Oh. Meet up with her mom and the siblings. And I thought, what an experience that child just had. It was awesome.
Nice.
So that's cool. Hard to beat. Audra, I don't know.
Audra, try to.
It's going to be a tough one.
I didn't know there was a contest. I thought we were going to be done after Mary's. I don't know. zaniest thing.
I have to think someone's gone into the lake if you move the winter and summer driveway. No?
We have had people go into the lake. Yep. We had a number of years ago a motorhome that the transmission went out on. It was parked just up on the hill and out into the lake it went.
So instant houseboat.
It became a houseboat, yes. Unfortunately, we don't allow gasoline motors in the lake. So,
So they got ticketed.
Unfortunately, a citation was issued.
We want to thank you for coming in today, and you're welcome back anytime. Come and talk about any upcoming programs later in the summer or fall or winter. And before we go out, just a reminder that this morning our guests have been from Round Lake State Park, State Park Manager Mary McGraw and Park Ranger Audra Staley. And if you missed any of this morning's show and you'd like to listen to the podcast, that should be available up later on today.
That's true. And again, remember that they are front page
Bonner County Daily Bee today.
That's right. So that's pretty neat.
Or to simply find out more by going out to and visiting Round Lake State Park.
Yes.
Yeah, come check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is there a phone number if people would like to call you and hear about things?
Yeah, they can call area code 208-263-3489.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine Googling Round Lake State Park, Idaho would get them your contact.
Yeah,
info.
It would get the contact and an email address, and we
and
respond hopefully
look
to the
up
emails.
That Facebook page. Probably lots of great photos.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to thank you both. It's been a great interview.
We're going to take a short music break here and listen to a little bit of Chicago. Saturday in the Park by Chicago, but really at Round Lake, any day is a good day, not just Saturday.
You would almost think it was 4th of July any day there. It's so great.
I know. It's wonderful. So speaking of days of the week, we've got this week's morning shows coming up. Tomorrow on the morning show, you can join hosts Chris Bessler and Susie Perez. Their guests will be Bert Houts from Toastmasters. That's here at 88.5 KRFY at 8 a.m. And on Thursday, host Jim Healy and Jack Peterson will visit with singers from the Sandpoint High School Men's Choir. Again, right at 8 a.m. here at 88.5 KRFY. And we've got a great show coming up next Tuesday. It's our pre-4th of July show. Joining Julie and I. Julie, will you be here next week?
I won't be here. It's
it says
our,
you're
it's
going
actually
to be
our
here.
Pre-4th of July
our
show.
Our pre-4th of July show. Absent Julie, I'll be here solo with Judy Dabrowski and Howard Shea from the Lions Club. They'll be talking about all things 4th of July, the parade, the fireworks, the raffle.
And all things Lions Club, so yes. It will be a good show.
Yes.
They
and
do a lot.
You'll be thinking about it, so you'll probably be fishing,
I
I'm guessing?
I think so, Phil.
Okay.
You'll find out when I get back, fishing would be it.
What else is coming up this week here in Sandpoint?
Boy, we don't have much time, and there's a lot, so I'm going to be quick about these. But today, if you're interested in reptiles, the Reptile Man is at the library at 6 p.m. For more info on that one, call 266-1321. Learn more about reptiles. Because we're the morning show and we're the outdoor recreation show, there's so much going on outdoors, Phil.
I know. It's almost summer. The solstice is coming up.
I know it, but there's a ton. The live music will be saved for Thursday. I think the other guys will share that. But we've got the farmer's market on Saturday. You know about that. On the 23rd, a walk in the woods for a bike or hike tour. That's been going on as an effort to raise funds for the Pine Street Woods through the Kinnexu Land Trust. That'll be at 10 a.m. And for more information on that one, if you'd like
to
attend.
Saturday, even our indoor stuff is outdoor oriented on Saturday. The Native Plant Society's got astronaut John Phillips.
It's true. He's going to be showing photos from well above the
Earth.
Way
outside.
Yes, what's been happening. And that should be interesting. And additionally, there's another native plant class, and that's also at Idaho Fish and Game's Trout Creek property. So lots of hikes in the woods happening.
Mm-hmm.
Contact info on that one would be 208-691-1070. And June Bug Ball on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Well, it's Sunday, 7 bee days, Schweitzer.
It's true.
Free chairlift rides.
It's so true. It's the opening of the summer season for Schweitzer, Phil. And that is a big day because you can hike around, check out where the huckleberries might be going to be thick later on.
You can take the chairlift to the top and ride your bike down the bike trails or hike down the hiking trails or just lounge around at the new lodge up there and wait in the long, long line to take the lift down.
So true. Unless you hike down.
Unless you hike down.
Hiking
it's
opportunity.
A great hike down.
So true.
Lots of vendors down below, a lot of booths introducing folks to other organizations in Bonner County and food and music and fun day.
It's really true. Do we have time for more?
We have time for a couple more.
All right. Well, the Friends of the Library are having their general meeting on the 26th at 11:30 a.m. It's a great organization if you haven't thought about joining them. And that just happens right at the library at 11:30 a.m. Additionally, If you'd like to rock out on the 25th, that's at 10:30, also at the Sandpoint Library, and you would learn about rocks, fossils, petrified wood with Nancy Scott. And that's part of the library's Rock Summer Reading Program. Cute.
Yeah. It's hard to be inside when it's outside days, but sometimes we get rain even in and through the end of June.
We hope for a little rain. As goes June, goes the fire season. I keep hearing that.
And a full moon's coming up next week, so I'm sure there'll be another full moon bike ride outside at some point.
True. And if it does rain, you can get to the movies. There's the Radius Film Festival, and that's happening on the 23rd.
So much to do, and so little time. It's summertime.
Seems so in the summer.
Well, we're going to go out with a little bit of Joni Mitchell. Always seems appropriate for shows like we've just had to appreciate our great outdoors, our public lands, our access to them. And so we're going to hear a little bit of The Big Yellow